السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to Ulama Profile this evening with myself, Ubaidullah Boja. And inshallah, you will be with me as always for the next 2 hours. It's our first program, alhamdulillah, after Ramadan. Last week we didn't do it because they were doing a program of Hazrat Maulana Nurbai Rahimahullah in the Nurul Islam Masjid. Inshallah, we have in the studio this evening, and I wish I was there, two of our great scholars, and from among them, Maulana Kaka and Maulana Shafiq Haji. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana.
Maulana, what an honor to have you all both on our program this evening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. Maulana, we paying tribute this evening to Maulana Nanabai rahimahullah, who passed away in the month of Ramadan. Between the two of you all, one of us can just say you all knew him for many, many years from the time of studying. Maulana Kaka knew him from the times of Pakistan. Maulana, what can you share with us with regards to your interaction with Maulana Nanabai rahimahullah?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Mautul alim, mautul alam. Yes, indeed, Maulana, the question you have put forward to me, we can say we can begin with a lot of things and end with a lot of things, but when it comes to Maulana rahimahumullah, Maulana was, you know, firstly we can speak with a lot of memories about Maulana, but Maulana, believe me, there is a beginning of this, but there is no ending to this. Maulana maybe physically is not present with us, rahimahumullah, but definitely his legacy continues, his memories continues, and also the things we had interacted with Maulana, these maybe not now, but later also in our lives, it will inshallah, you know, come, it will be, will able to drive the things that Maulana has said, that inshallah it can help us in our life at the time when Maulana is not here. But Maulana Kaka Sahib is here in the studio. In fact, Maulana was just asking, as I was telling Maulana regarding to Maulana Nanabai Rahmatullah Alayhi, that Maulana, look, Maulana is a senior Ali, Maulana Kaka Sahib. So inshallah, I think Maulana will just first comment little, and I'll come in between Maulana wherever there is a need. I have a few things to discuss or to say. And then towards the end, I also have a poem, or you call it a few lines regarding in memory of Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi.
Maulana Kaka, the platform is yours, Maulana.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu wa rahmatullah.
Nahmadu wa nusalli ala Rasulil Kareem. Just a few memories that I have of Maulana is that Maulana was studied the first 3 years in Taraj. He was with Maulana Muhammad Jinnah from Kimberley. The two of them were together. They were studying in Taraj, and then Maulana came, I think, in the third year or the fourth year. Then he joined us in Karachi, in Binuri Tam. Maulana, we were together in a class. I think we finished off together. There was one thing remarkable of Maulana was that, you know, when he was in a class, perhaps you would think that Maulana is sleeping. That's how he used to be sitting in a class. Sometimes very tired, but you'll think that he's sleeping. But he used to, whatever was said by the ustad, he remembered each and everything the ustad said. Mm-hmm. And perhaps when at night, when he used to make our takrar or sit down, then he used to be making that takrar. So he remembered everything very well. But together with that also, I think in all the years that we were together, I think every year, perhaps at the end of every year, he used to come out second or third in class. That's how I remembered. The other important thing was that he was very close to Maulana Yusuf bin Nuri Rahmatullah Alayh. And he was like a personal secretary to Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayh, Maulana Yusuf bin Nuri Rahmatullah Alayh, that he used to do his personal work. For a number of years, he was very close to Maulana, and he did a lot of Maulana's very personal work. What I remember of Maulana, one thing, that he was a very strong personality. The reason why I say that is that wherever he took up work, it was always work where, you know, he needed authority. But together with authority, he always had a lot of diplomacy. So he did his work and very well. When we were studying in a madrasa, you know, we had South African students, we had our own place, we used to have our own elections and everything. And I think in most of the years, Maulana was always regarded as Amir, or he was always elected an Amir and used to look over the South African students. When he came back to South Africa, I remember that
I want to ask you before you go ahead, tell us one or two of the jokey moments that you and Maulana, I know you had many of them, and I hear you sometimes when you were with Maulana Baham or Maulana Zahir. What are some of the happier moments that you had with Maulana Nanabai, maybe the naughtier ones, when you were studying in Karachi?
You know, truly, I can't remember anything at the moment.
No problem.
Because of my age, I think I forgot a lot of things.
Okay, you can carry on, Maulana.
Like I said, Maulana, when he came back, Maulana joined, I think, CIT. And he had, when he was with CIT also, he was a principal for CIT. And when CIT opened the madrasa here in Lens, he still remember, he was the one that opened the madrasa in Lens, he was the Amir. And then he made CIT and LMA merge, and that's how LMA took over CIT. But still he was a principal there also for CIT. Then he was the Imam of the Masjid in Talim al-Islam. Then he was also, like I mentioned, then he became the principal of LMA. He was also on a board of LMS. And there also he was in charge of the Islamiyat. So wherever Maulana was, it was always in places where, you know, he had a strong personality. So he could drive his authority, but together with that, there was a lot of diplomacy. In those years also, there were many ulama who worked with him or worked under him in LMA or wherever they worked. They would always tell you that he always knew how to work, how to take out work from people. That's what I remember about Maulana.
What are some personal moments that you shared with him you want to share with the listeners?
If I remember, inshallah, I'll come in, inshallah.
Shafiq, some of your experiences?
Mohsab, you know, when you initially asked me about my interacting with Maulana and where it began, I just want to put on record, really, it all began with this father figure, the love, when alhamdulillah, my parents and my chacha, you know, they decided to send me to Pakistan to learn deen. And this is the first time that I met Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ibrahim Nanabai Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh. And that was in the year 1973. I remember the day, 29th of April. And when I first stepped into this great institute of deen, that is the Jamia Ulume Islamiyah, and at that time, Maulana, it was known as Madrasa Arabiya Islamiyah. And at that age, at that point, I was only 13 years of age. And here I have a senior person sitting in the studio, Maulana Kaka Sahab, he was also at that time, and these are all our fatherly figures, where Maulana was at that time, Maulana Rahmatullah Alayh was 21 years old. So although look at the age, but subhanallah, they played a fatherly figure from those days. And Maulana had always been a fatherly figure to myself, surely I'm sure to other people as well. And alhamdulillah, I spent 2 years with Maulana, and because 2 years later, Maulana qualified in 1974, but the bond and the love was as if we knew each other for years, Jama Maulana. That was the level of love and understanding. And alhamdulillah, after when I came back to South Africa, I served under Maulana from 1985 to 1991 at the LMA. And then we are now fortunate again, subhanallah, that Maulana was back with us at Senha for almost, I think, 4 to 5 years. But inshallah, we have other speakers also to shed some light regarding to these other aspects of Maulana's life. I don't want to speak on everything because I don't want to leave some things for other ulama that will be coming online. And just one incident, although it was not personally with me, but I just want to mention of it. His colleague at Senha, he mentioned to me just after Maulana passed away, and he said, you know what, I will never forget Maulana, and that when he was ill for 3 Ramadans ago, Maulana personally seen his comfort by calling him or messaging him every second day, and also organized a special mattress to assist him for his back problems. And this was a time where this particular person could not even walk, not even lay down any side, this way, that way. And this was for 3 months of calling and messaging. So you can understand, Maulana, from this, how Maulana Rahmatullah Ali was close. Well, he had the spirit of sharing, the caring of for the needy and so forth. And inshallah, towards sometime later part of the program, I will then inshallah read this particular lines that I have put together regarding the Maulana Rahmatullah Ali.
What we're going to ask Salim before he gets Maulana's daughter on the line, that there is a clip that Maulana Shafiq Haji was so kind that he had taken out, and Maulana Shafiq will just guide him to which one. That we're going to listen to the voice of Maulana Nanabai, inshallah. And after we do that, we speak to the daughter of Maulana Nanabai.
Inshallah. So Maulana, that clip, I just want to also mention, I went through it.
Jee.
And alhamdulillah, that clip was being, Maulana was addressing the ulama, you know, in a Boz Barat that the Jamiat arranges every year almost, alhamdulillah, for the past few years.
Right.
And this was in Heidelberg, where Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi addressed the ulama. And this clip is for about, inshallah, 13 minutes to 15 minutes. And there you can, inshallah, we can listen to what, how Maulana's sincerity is being shown. I mean, that was not to show the ulama, but today we can realize how much of sincerity was Maulana speaking about. And this is the first clip of Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi.
Respected listeners, we're listening to the profile of Hazrat Maulana Nanabai Rahimahullahu Ta'ala. And we've jumped right into the program, in the heart of the program, with the grace and the mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We have now the daughter on the line, Afa Maryam. Afa, Assalamu Alaikum Wa Rahmatullah.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah, Maulana. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah for taking out your time this evening and preparing such a nice show regarding your father. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you and the family as well.
Ameen. Jazakallah, Maulana. On behalf of our family, we would like to thank you, Maulana, and everyone at Radio Islam for profiling our marhum father on your program. May Allah grant all of you abundant blessings.
Ameen.
And mercy.
Allah. Appa, we started right with one of Maulana's very, very close and old friends, Maulana Kaka and Maulana Haji. But coming to yourself as a daughter, give us a little bit of family background to this great personality that we know as Maulana Nanabai.
Okay, Maulana. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ghafarallahu wa rahma wa askanahu firdausul a'la. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah has decreed for our beloved father to finally meet his creator. And no matter how difficult it is to accept that our father has left us, we believe that Allah is everlasting. We are indeed saddened and heartbroken at the demise of our father. And no amount of words can console us grieving children. There will never be a replacement for our loving father. Not today and not ever again. Our marhum father, Maulana Muhammad Ibrahim Nanabai, Allah Yarhamu, or as we and many others fondly knew him as Papa, was born in 1950 in Kruger's Rock. He was the youngest brother of 12 brothers and sisters, and was often described as a mischievous and playful child who was everyone's favorite. In 1963, at the tender age of 13, Papa began his quest for Dini knowledge and traveled to Miftahul Ulum Taraj in India to become an alim, leaving behind his heartbroken and tearful mother whom he would never see again. She passed away a few months later while Papa was still in India. Papa always narrated to us the story of how his beloved mother begged him not to go and that he would not see her again, and how every time she would see a plane in the sky, she would tell the family, "See, tell them to bring my Muhammad back, please." Maulana, Papa studied at Miftahul Ulum Taraj for a period of 5 years, where he began his alim course, and then he decided to become a hafiz there as well. He completed his hifz in Taraj while studying to become an alim, and then went on to complete his alim course in Jamial Ulum Islamia, Binori town in Karachi, and he stayed there for 6 years under the guidance of the renowned Sheikh ul Hadith, Hazrat Sheikh Maulana Muhammad Yusuf Binori, Rahmatullah Alayh, who was the principal of this illustrious institute. During this time of Papa's life, Papa's father passed away, and he was only 21 years old at the time. Alhamdulillah, Papa shared a very special relationship with Hazrat Sheikh Binori Rahmatullah Alayh, and when Papa decided to get married in 1973, Hazrat Binori Rahmatullah Alayh performed Papa's Nikah in Lichtenburg here in South Africa. And 3 days after Papa's Nikah, Papa and Mommy returned to Karachi for approximately 18 months, where Papa completed his studies and qualified as an alim. Both Papa and Mommy were incredibly fortunate to have enjoyed a close relationship with Hazrat Sheikh Binori Rahmatullah Alayh and his family. Whenever Papa accompanied Hazrat Sheikh Binori Rahmatullah Alayh on his travels anywhere, Mommy used to stay with Hazrat's family. Papa always fondly remembered his days at Binori Town, while never forgetting the nasiha given to him, knowledge imparted to him, and du'as made for him by his Sheikh, Hazrat Sheikh Binori Rahmatullah Alayh, and he carried this with him throughout his life. And as one of the Maulanas mentioned to us recently, Papa had lots of Hazrat Sheikh Binori's du'as and was indeed loved by Sheikh Hazrat Sheikh. Papa's colleagues who studied with him will be able to give you more insight to his student days at Miftahul Ulum in Taraj and in Binori Town in Karachi. Maulana, then Papa returned to South Africa. The year was 1974. He began his teaching career. He, along with a close friend of his, Hafiz Rafiq Javos, taught Hifz in Kirk State, Johannesburg. In the morning, they used to travel at 6 a.m. by train from Azadville to Kirk Street. In the afternoon, Papa taught in Azadville Madrasa. Approximately 2 years later, Papa moved to Nell Street, where he was an imam and an ustad in the Madrasa up until 1978. He then returned to Johannesburg, took up the position as the first imam of the Talimul Islam Masjid for a period of 8 years, today known as Shanul Islam, and he was teaching at CIT as well at that time. No matter what was said or done that he didn't approve of or disliked, he always emphasized to us, dislike a person's actions, but never dislike a person. No matter what difficulty he endured in his life, he always endured it with sabr, taqwa, and complete yakin that Allah will always assist him in any situation and alleviate any difficulty from him. Those that knew him and were near to and dear to him, they will bear testimony to this attribute of his. Our father had indeed touched the lives of many and equally inspired the hearts of many more. Papa was a friend and confidant to everyone that knew him. He made each person feel special and granted them his undivided attention when they spoke to him. And when they left, he always gave them a dua and some parting nasiha. We will always remember the personal advices Papa gave us, the individual moments we all shared with him, cherished memories of our many Hajj and Umrah trips together as a family and with the groups he took for Hajj and Umrah, his captivating du'as, especially on the day of Arafah, him reciting Labbaik aloud and us repeating it before entering Makkah Mu'azzamah, him softly reading Durood with tears rolling down his cheek and reminding us to do the same before entering Medina Tayyibah, and making us always conscious of what a Mubarak city we were entering. Over the years, Papa befriended many renowned ulama from different parts of the globe, including the imams and muezzins of the Haramain Sharifain, whom he shared a very close relationship with. The imams and muezzins held Papa in a very high esteem and contacted him regularly, inquiring of his well-being. Up until Papa's last days in hospital, there were regular phone calls, messages, and duas from these esteemed personalities. Maulana, all these memories will always be etched in our hearts and remain with us forever. We will always hold on to that when the days ahead become too difficult for us to bear. The emptiness we feel and void left without his presence will be very hard to overcome. But we beseech Allah in our time of difficulty for ease, as Papa so often advised us to do. We are going to miss him tremendously, and we ask that Allah grant us the strength to endure this difficult time with beautiful patience. We beg to Allah to have mercy on Papa, forgive him for all his shortcomings, fill his qabr with noor. May the fragrance of musk from Jannah enter and fill his qabr. Let his qabr be a garden from amongst the gardens of Jannah. Let Allah grant him entry into Jannah with no reckoning. Ameen.
I mean, and I'm sure all those of Papa's colleagues that are listening would probably say that you have many a parents and many a shoulders that you can still turn toward, and there are still many people with that amount of wisdom. And I'm confident the likes of Morana Kaka, Morana Lolaki, all Morana Gina, all of them would be telling you that, you know what, you still have parents in them as colleagues of your father's friend. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you, your mom, your brother, your siblings, and the ummah at large, for definitely we've lost a very, very great
person. Papa's colleagues and friends have been very supportive of to us, always inquiring about us, even when he was ill, always asking about him and us. Say Jazakallah, may Allah reward all of them abundantly.
Inshallah, we take a quick ad break. When we return, we speak to Morana Muhammad Jina of Kimberley. Welcome back to Radio Islam International. We're speaking about Morana Muhammad Ibrahim Nanabai Sahab Rahimahullah, and very emotional daughter giving her feelings with regards to her beloved father, and obviously the deep relationship that they shared for so many years. We have with us on air one of the senior ulama of our country, and somebody who knew Morana for many, 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 many years, and that is Morana Muhammad Jina. Morana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all the listeners.
Morana, you knew Morana for a very long time, from the days of Taraj. Share with us your experiences.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nashkuru wa nasallu ala rasul kareem. You know, me and Morana, our both names are also Muhammad Ibrahim.
Subhanallah.
And so many things you'll see in whatever I will try and put across, matched together. Because we spent 7 years together, 5 years in Taraj and 2 years in Pakistan. But if I tell you how close we were, where and where we went together, and what we did together. Maulana went to, as we heard, to Taraj in 1963, at the mere young age of 13 years old, imagine. In 1964, just after a few months, as she got the thing, somebody mentioned him, after 4 months, his mother passed away while he was in Taraj. And he did his hijj in Taraj. But what happened when the ustaz found out there? Hazrat Maulana Ali Muhammad Tarajwi, a great wali of Allah, who was paralyzed at that time, completely bedridden, also was given the news of Maulana's, this young boy's mother passing away. And he also felt very sad and cried. And there was one ustad, Zirat Maulana Abdul Rahman Tadia, was my ustad also for 3 years. He was a kitab ustad in the kitab class, alim course. But he felt so much pity and sympathized towards this young boy. He asked the principal that, look, let me take this boy over. But the principal said, you are doing kitabs. He said, never mind. I remember I'm sitting right next to Maulana. I'm in the kitab class and Maulana is in the hifz class. And this was the only boy doing hips in this alim class. And this ustad took care of him, looked after him. And Maulana did his hips there. And approximately under 3 years, Maulana completed his hips there in Taraj. In 1966, well, I came there in 1965. When I came there, imagine I was 19 years old. Maulana was there that time about plus minus 15 years old. He welcomed me. In fact, I was 5 years elder, but he practically looked after me because I was still a new boy and he knew how unstable I was, you know. But he looked after me, took care of me, and his bed was right next to my bed in the room as well.
Subhanallah.
And Maulana did complete his hijj in 1966. If I'm not mistaken, he came to South Africa and he was plus minus 15, 16 years old. And as we were told, he performed Tarawih. I think it must have been Krugersdorp. Because that time, Azadul Masjid, there was no masjid that time as yet. And then Maulana, after that Ramadan, came back to India, stayed in Taraj till 1969. Imagine mother passing away, going back, and his father still didn't give up. He said, no, you go back for your studies. Then, in India, me and Maulana, we had a lot of journeys together. We traveled different parts of India together, Bombay, Baroda, wherever. In fact, I will tell you, Maulana was such a capacity of respect for Ustad and khidmat and ikram. Maulana, there was an ijtima, it was the third alimi ijtima international in Baroda. First one was Kawi Maulana, Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, second one in Surat, the third one, and Maulana told me, let us go to Baroda.
Subhanallah.
But Maulana said, no, we are going to go, you know, our ustaz are also going to come, the principal, the vice principal, and a few of them, let us take good deadings for them. So we took some intizama, some things also for them, together in the train, our train that was hired from Surat. I remember how we jumped through the window with all the big, big beddings and the godras and all that. And when we came there, we over 100,000 people in Ijtima selected a nice place. We looked for our ustad. They came, they were so happy. And Maulana's quality was such of khidmat and ikram, bringing tea for them now and then, going to wherever the lunch and supper is available. And in this way, we looked after them for the 3 days, and we returned back with all those weddings and everything. And also, Maulana, I would say Maulana also spent one Ramzan I know very well, by Hazrat Maulana Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali Khanka in 1968, I think. And in Saharanpur, also took bed from Maulana Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And we traveled different parts of India with a lot of adventures. And Taraj, he was our sadr, our president of the Anjuman. He organized the Jalsas, and we had young age. And also, you see, the ustaz took a lot of liking to me. This boy, look, he came back all the way after his mother passed away while he was here and so. And he looked after the affairs of many South African students and local as well. Because we were only about 70, 80 there. Mm. So Anjuman was for everybody, every Thursday night. And he was also very close to Hazrat Maulana Ali Muhammad Taraji, going there for khidmat, for which we got dua and used to take me with. He made a lot of khidmat of Maulana. And also Maulana used to come and visit Nizamuddin also in the holidays when we were there in Jamaat. In fact, myself and Hazrat Maulana once, we were involved in organizing a small jor in one of the villages in near Taraj Makinga also as well. There's a lot to mention about Maulana concerning India. But I'll tell you one. Many people sometimes ask, you know, when you tell them that we met Hazrat Maulana Wasiullah, not Wasiullah, Maulana Wasiullah Rahmatullah.
Mm-hmm.
And how it happened that we got the news in Taraj, that was somewhere in 1968 or so, that Maulana Wasiullah has arrived, he's in Dabel, and whoever wants to meet him. So the ustad, we didn't have him this evening already. After Maghrib, we said, no, we are going to, Maulana told me, let us go. I said, Maulana is far, 4 or 5 kilometers, the river is on the way. He said, let us go. Got two South Africans together, 4 or 5, Maulana organized it, and we walked. When we came by the river, that person who used to take the ori cross you with the boat across was not there. Maulana said, don't worry. This is Maulana Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ibrahim Nanabai. He said, no, don't worry. And he was so energetic. Samrod was very near there. He organized with somebody who went to Samrod, got a person who could swim. Brought him there, swam across, brought the boat that was across the river, Mindora River, came, and in this way we crossed, and it was already late. We came there, was Isha time, and Maulana Wasiullah Rahmatullah Ali became ill, and he couldn't have any program, and he was sleeping there by the Shaykhuladi's mansion. It so happened that we waited whole night. Maulana said, we're going to wait, we're not going to go back. We sat on the heap of sand that was there outside, in the middle of the night, up the whole night, early in the morning, Tahajjud time, Maulana Wasiullah Rahmatullah Ali said to his khadim and some ulama, he said, there are some people who came from the surrounding and they want to meet me. I'm not well, but bring them, let them come. They came, they seen us around there, in the heap of sand, sitting and laying there, half asleep. Brought us here, Maulana was making wuzu, Maulana Wasiullah. We made salam and asked for dua, he made dua, and off we went back to Taraj to be on time for madrasa in Taraj early in the morning. This was because many people say, how did you meet Maulana Wasiullah? In fact, that day we had no courage to go to Dabel, but it was the motivation and the encouragement of Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ibrahim Nanabai in that young age to say, no, let us go. It was very adventurous. So this was part of the, there's a lot to say about the India, while we were in India, like the floods came in our village called, but we always used to go together, hike together on trucks and tractors and so on. When the floods came there, we couldn't enter the village for 2 days. The third day, you say, we're going to go back the third day, just to go and see what is happening in the village to assist them, because the whole village was full of water and mud and so on. But Maulana always encouraged us and gave us the pep and guts to carry on. This was Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ibrahim Nanabai, Nawarrahu Marqadahu Rahmullahu Ta'ala. Now, after that, what happened, that our trip, now, after we were finished, Maulana came back to Taraj, and from after we went to go visit there, it was in 1966. When he came back, carried on the Alim course. When we finished Taraj, a very limited Alim course, you must go to different madrasas. So now we left for Pakistan, Karachi. We were told we must come to Karachi. We had a journey in Pakistan. First of all, I would say that Hazrat Maulana, we left lock, stock and barrel. A journey of 3 nights and 3 days.
SubhanAllah.
But if I'm telling you what advantage, right? Going from Surat to Delhi, putting up there, waiting there, going a little bit to Durban, coming back, sleeping a night, going to Amritsar border, back to Lahore, again, right up, coming back to Karachi. I remember it was 3 days and 3 nights. And let me tell you, a few months before he passed away, when I went to meet him there at his home with Robert Shem, he reminded me, he says, Maulana Yache, he went down the memory lane after a Pakistani trip. He reminded me like this. And he wanted to speak. I could see not well. I said, come visit Kimberly, we'll sit and we'll go through everything. Nevertheless, I will tell you that in Pakistan, when we left there, 1969, just after Ramadan, I will say that he was 6 years younger than me, but he took care of me. I owe him so much. I remind him that the Maulana, I owe you a lot. You did a lot for me. Wherever he went, he seemed to my needs. Many a time we were not so financially so and so, but wherever you went out, you went together, etc. He assisted me a lot. And he actually motivated me a lot. He was very, very studious, a lot of courage, very energetic. He took care of me. And he took me to Hazrat Maulana Mufti Shafi Shah to go and meet him. Had it not been for him, I would have never gone. But I was there only 2 years. So he told me, because Mufti Shafi Shah, rahmatullahi, when he came to South Africa, Maulana's father spent a lot of time with him, and he knew him as you are, so you are Ibrahim by Nanabai's son, and so, and he took a liking to Hazrat Maulana. Now, and also at the same time, Maulana Yusuf Sahib Binori Rahmatullah took a lot of liking to him also, because I was with him when he went to take permission from Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that my father is very, very ill, and I want permission to go and see my father. Mufti Sahib, Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, immediately granted him permission. His father passed away while he was here in South Africa in 1971. After a short while, he returned immediately back to Madrasa to be in time there. And Maulana came back here and carried on his studies. And also, then Maulana, I had to go away in 1972, I had to leave. We departed because he felt very sad and very hard, so that I had to go away, and that I would be coming back to Karachi. I'll be going to India. So Maulana followed up, and I got married. When I got married, to my utter surprise, when I came to Bombay Airport, who was there?
Maulana
was there waiting for me with my auntie there from Bombay, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
And that was married. But then I always feel that Maulana, we spent some time in Bombay, then he came to Karachi, I went to Dabel. And Maulana, I think while we were there, when he went back, he said, no, this girl of mine is not going to beat me. The next year, he was back, he also got married, and he said, he came back with his wife, I'm also going to come back with my wife to Pakistan. And that's what he did, exactly after a year. And while, in fact, I was thinking, when am I going to meet him now? He's studying there, and you know, while he's married, I must meet him. Allah made it such that while we were returning in 1973, December, by ship, the Italian liner, we stopped over in Karachi 2 days, and we spent the 2 days and the night, one night and day at his place there in Karachi, and once again we met, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Malana, you understand, much now in 1974, we heard that, he came back to South Africa. First he taught in Azadville, and as we say, heard in Kerr Street, Nell Street 2 years, then in Talimul Islam, a madrasa, was a masjid imam for 8 years, and also, I remember I went to visit in the Talim Islam at home, but every Thursday night, while I was there, I was told, and I was set also in his majlis where he was reading a 40 durud every Thursday night for the congregation there in the masjid. He was also with the CIT, as we heard, for a while, and he was the principal for LMA Madrasa 20 years. I was told that one of the ustaz, of the senior ustaz of the LMA Madrasa there at the Qabristan, after the funeral, that he is the person who brought up the standard of education in the LMA Madrasa. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Maulana, in conclusion, I will say, he was such a dedicated person. Whole life he dedicated to deen. While ill, still gave his time, as Maulana Nonaki, just before the janaza namaz mentioned, at the end, he came on the wheelchair. Allahu Akbar. And to see, come to the office and pay his visit there to see to the affairs. Maulana, before he passed away, many a times we used to speak sometimes together, especially when he was in Pakistan. We used to correspond a lot together by that time was an arrow gram that letter that takes 7-8 days to come and go. And Maulana Rahmatullahi, I always had a wish, me and him. And that wish was, while we were studying it, we are going to go by road to Haramain Sharifain. We couldn't fulfill that wish, Allah knows best, because after married life, we were all on our own. But Alhamdulillah, somehow or the other, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our hearts were always together. I will just say here, what a person he was. He was really, Maulana, a cool and calm person. He was an organizer, an administrator, a supervisor, good advisor, khairkha to everybody. Very neat and efficient in his work, very, very punctual in everything about the dressing. I used to always admire his wonderful, wonderful, beautiful turban. As Maulana Nolati also mentioned today, that he gave his whole life, Maulana, you know, I would just end off and say, when I got the news, I was in Jamaat in the Northern Cape, and we were in the border of Free State, came to Bloemfontein when we got the message. Early in the morning, before Seri time, we left and we came. I made it there 10 minutes before the janaza. Had the opportunity of carrying his janaza, or also the opportunity of lowering his janaza down. And as we're putting it down, what came to my mind, when I looked at his whole body, how he's putting down, and he's going to rest now. It reminded me that when Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi Kandil passed away, his mother came to him, his body was laying there at Nizamuddin, and said to him, but said in Urdu, but in English, man, oh Yusuf, you have played your part of your share for the deen, and near age of 45 you are leaving, departing from here. Go and have rest in peace until the day of Qiyamah.
SubhanAllah.
That's what came to my mind. Oh, Muhammad Ibrahim Nanabai.
Allah.
You have your part up till the last moment. Like they say in Urdu, karte karte maro, or marte marte karo. While you are dying, you are doing the work of Allah. And while you are doing the work of Allah, you are dying. Oh, Muhammad Ibrahim Nanabai. You rest in peace now until the day of Qiyamah. Maulana, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him Jannat al-Firdaus. Noor in his qabr, fulfill his qabr with noor. Give him Jannat al-Firdaus. Let the beautiful fragrant spell and breeze from the windows of Jannat come into his qabr. And obviously the family people, I know it is hard to accept, it is sad, but perseverance and sabr, inshallah ta'ala, will give him more comfort in his grave. We always make dua for this personality. We live at such a young age of 66. Departed from this world. I think there's a lot of lessons if we go through his life story, if somebody can compile it. For the young ulama today, Maulana, we have always also studied for many, many years. But that time in India and Pakistan, to study, it wasn't an easy life. You know, Maulana was in charge of our anjuman, even of the selling of the biscuits and the nankatai and all those things, Maulana. And today, we had such a life when we returned that day, Maulana, if I tell you, mentioned this from Maulana Wasiullah's meeting from Dabil. And early in the morning, there was nothing to eat there in the madrasa. We went into the madbakh in the kitchen. We got dry juwarno rotlo from the previous day. We had to eat it with water. This is just in the form of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is this dedication and love and devotion of Hazrat Maulana who encouraged us and motivated us, looked after us in every way. And Allah ta'ala give him a good reward in return, which I always mentioned to him that day also, that I owe him a lot. May Allah ta'ala accept you people also for organizing this, because it is said in mafhum of a hadith, always speak good. The angel will say to him, people are speaking so much good today of you, and now you even get more rest in your khabar, inshallah, in alam barzakh.
Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Very emotional, wonderful, amazing qualities of Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ibrahim Nanabai, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ibrahim Jina, and obviously it's something that we all need to learn. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Maulana the highest stages in Jannatul Firdaus. We take the 9 PM news, inshallah. The hour has flown so quickly. And when we return, inshallah, we speak to the remainder of the siblings, Maulana Manjara, Maulana Nawlaki, Maulana Yahya Bam, and Maulana Khalid Pandor. Still on the line, inshallah, make dua, we can fill all of them with the remainder of the 3 siblings after the 9 PM news. What an amazing hour we've had discussing the life of Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ibrahim Nanabai. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with nur. We have a long hour to go through, and I have quite a bit also of information that I need to just share with you regarding the life of Maulana, inshallah. Also, what we're going to do is, inshallah, in one of the coming weeks, we're going to open the lines up, and listeners can then share their experiences regarding Maulana Nanabai rahimahullah and Qari Noorbai rahimahullah. Although many programs were held, but there were very few that had the opportunity to give their experiences, their interaction, and what they've learned thus far regarding the life of Hazrat Maulana Nanabai as well as Qari Noorbai rahimahullah. We have in studio with us a Maulana who is very, very busy and who has a lot. Also, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him. And that is Maulana Khalid Pandor. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Maulana, you have had many, many years of experience with Maulana Nanabai in LMA, and you've dealt with him personally in many issues. Your input for today's program.
Jazakallah, Maulana, for giving me this opportunity. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhi nastafa. To be exact, I would say 20 years, and Maulana came in LMA at a time when the English world needed guidance as far as Makatib and Madaris go. There were many systems out there, but a standardized system that would appeal to parents and would be on par with secular standards. The LMA was in vogue, the CIT was in vogue, as we heard earlier, that Maulana married the two. But Maulana played a very, very key role in bringing credibility to this. And because of Maulana's personality, as we heard, and his strong ways and his strong personality and his conviction, and Maulana wouldn't think about other people, what would they say about criticism, how would they take it, will I be popular, won't I be popular. No, if it was right and Maulana saw it right, he would go for it. And alhamdulillah, when Maulana came into the LMA, I think I was the only, Master Maulana Banu was there, and then Maulana came in as the principal of the Lanija Muslim Association. And Maulana had phenomenal qualities, as we heard from his student days and the du'as of Hazrat Maulana bin Nuri rahmatullah alayhi, and his father himself, Maulana's father, my mother was with them in Rudiport in those early years of the 50s, was a buzruk himself. Hazrat's father also was a great buzruk. So all that du'as culminated in Allah Ta'ala accepting Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ibrahim Nanabai for this crucial bridge for the ummah that's going to come in future. Islam was spreading in the West. The English language was becoming now popular. But the old sentiments of the Maulanas or the Mullahs, they spoke Urdu and Gujarati, and their status was compromised. Maulana came in, and when he came to LMA, first thing, because of his personality, alhamdulillah, he brought in Maulana Muhammad, Mufti Qasim, as mentioned earlier, Maulana Rafiq Haturani, Mufti Rashid Musa, Maulana Yahya Bam also came in, Maulana Sabir came in, and a host of lots of ulama. And when they came in, and the syllabus was there, Maulana, alhamdulillah, took it to another level, but the authenticity of the subject matter was now dealt with in a way that the ulama fraternity accepted that this is the way to go. And this khidma of Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ibrahim Nanavai will never go unnoticed. I think he did the greatest contribution to the world at large, not only the Lanija Muslim Association. We can go on speaking for a whole hour or 2 hours only on Maulana's contribution to LMA. That when he came in and the world was thirsty out there for a syllabus that could be taught easily, practically, and that there would be interaction, there's methodology, and children could take it. Not the olden days, well, not bad to speak about it, but you know, come in there, the ustad with so many children shouting, you read, you stand, you do utbed, you do this, all that Maulana brought to an end. And he had a fantastic ability to respect and give credibility and hold the ulama in high esteem. The ulama are professionals. They've studied for many years. They are very sensitive. And then to make the khidmat from them in a way, he's always saying, Mawli Khalid, when I used to get upset, somebody didn't do something, Mawli Khalid, he used to call me, he said, bye, that's the capacity of the person. Take it like that. Don't push too hard. We will get it right slowly. And Maulana had vision. Maulana had the ability to administer. I know we went to a stage where there were 3,500 learners in LMA.
Allah.
Over nearly 200 classrooms. And Maulana knew exactly which class, what was happening at any given time. And that was phenomenal. Pakaji used to always say, come on, I'm always up here, but Dakshina Mahmood, I tell you, Maulana, you're covered. That was Hazrat. He had his finger on a pulse, and he was diverse. Maulana could handle, I remember the olden days where you didn't have the PABX system, two phones. So Maulana got both phones and he's talking to two people at the same time.
Allah.
And getting the work done. To get the work done, to implement the syllabus, to have a leading role, to be a buffer between the officials and the staff, and to get things across. Wallah, Allah Ta'ala had accepted from Maulana a great, great khidmah. As far as myself goes, whatever I have is a gift from Hazrat Maulana. My other father, I would call him. I was an ordinary little laitiki, a small child in LMA, teaching the classes there. And one day Maulana called me up after 1 or 2 years, he said, Mawli Khalid, I said, gee, Hazrat, he said, you're going to become the supervision. I said, me? He said, gee, Khalid. I said, I don't know. He said, we'll teach you. And Hazrat held my finger ever since that day, till he left me where Maulana had to leave the LMA. And he taught us everything. And he would, at every turn, with extreme kindness, love, passion, Maulana had was fantastic. In his dressing, he was articulate. We learned from him how to be presentable. Whenever you saw Maulana, a smile on his face, tip-top dressed, Maulana liked nicely Allah Ta'ala grant him the greatest in Jannah as well, give him all the goodness that Hazrat has had. And he taught us also to be presentable at all times and to speak in a tone that wouldn't offend anybody else. The hardest of situations, the most difficult of situations, whether it be parents, whether it be teachers, whether it be learners, Maulana would address the issue in such a beautiful way that, well, in Gujarati they say, Habi mari jai, nilakri bini tute. Maulana would do it so beautifully. And every year, at the end of the year, he would apologize to the staff, please forgive us. Whatever we did, whatever we said is for the interest of the ta'lim. It is not meant personally with anybody. And everybody respected. And one other aspect of Maulana, if he said something like Maulana Kaka also said, and the others also said, he had that authority that alhamdulillah, if he said something, it would be implemented. It would be wrong not to mention that the Al-Aqsa school idea was also part of the brainchild of Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ibrahim Nanavai.
Subhanallah.
When apartheid came to an end, he said, the rich children are going to go to the LMS. What about the ordinary folk? We need to give them good talim as well. And unfortunately, at that time, politically, things weren't right. And Maulana's foresight. And he said, we're going to come out at a very low cost. I think that time was about 150 rand a month. Everybody questioned, how are you going to survive with this type of salary? But Maulana, alhamdulillah, with the other members that came onto board, Maulana made it work. And alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, left it at a pedestal that it is a star in any given time. And today also, to get placed in Al-Aqsa school is difficult. That ajr also will go to Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ibrahim Nanavai. I can continue and continue with Maulana's foresight, Maulana's way of working, Maulana doing things. But for me, alhamdulillah, may Allah Ta'ala fill his qabr with nur, and I cannot pay him back for what he did for me and for Dini Tarim at the maktab level. Other people take accolades, but this khidmat of Hazrat Maulana is becoming international. Yeah, somebody phoned me from India that he got a Muslim school, English medium school, and somebody suggested that I think you should use the LMA syllabus there. Inshallah, if it is implemented there as well, Hazrat Maulana will get the ajr for every child here in Maulana Hafiz Nurubai, Madrasilahul Ali, and the other supervisors that passed away. Apakaji has also left us now. Apakola just passed away a few weeks ago. Abid Ibrahim Sidat, also a stalwart of air. Mr. Suji, Yusuf Bhai Suji, also was part of LMA. Maulana Umar Rawat. These were all people that worked with Maulana. Today they have left this world. May Allah Ta'ala fill the qabr with nur.
Ameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant LMA an appropriate replacement, and Allah take it from strength to strength.
Ameen.
We have the daughter on the line from Appa Adil. Appa, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from the family and all that they've done your input to tonight's program, inshallah.
Mulana, I think I would like to just echo my sibling sentiments and my father's colleagues and what touched our hearts in the condolences of many of those who knew Papa. Like Mulana mentioned, Papa was extremely meticulous, even in his dressing. He was hardworking, committed, motivated, with determination to study at such a young age. He continued the work in the fields of ilm, completing his khidmat in the service of Deen until his final days, all attest to this. He was extraordinarily approachable, warm and welcoming to all those who found themselves in his presence, always smiling and never judging. His demeanor, character and akhlaq spoke for themselves, as he was loved by many and indeed dearly loved. His love of the Haramain was undeniable, and he instilled this not only in our hearts, but many of those whom he guided through Hajj and Umrah. Alhamdulillah, Allah had blessed Papa with immense knowledge and ilm of both the world and deen. He was an intelligent person who truly loved ilm while remaining utterly humble. I think his most valuable imparting of deen has to be in our upbringing. He had such a unique way of explaining and understanding things that it made everything seem so simple and easy. It was easy to see the love Papa held for Allah Ta'ala. Having complete tawakkul and faith in Allah's will, reliance totally on Allah and accepting every circumstance, whatever it may be. Knowing that every condition is from Allah and unwavering conviction that Allah will never forsake him. Papa achieved that balance of living in this world while striving for the akhirat. Always praising Allah's bounties and beauties and seeking Allah's pleasure by striving for his place in Jannat with khidmat, sabr and true yaqeen. The love for his Habib is my father endearingly referred to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has flowed from Papa's heart into our lives and veins. In numerous visits to the Haramain, he has instilled a deep love, respect and yearning desire to continue visiting these holy lands in the Rawdah Mubarak until our final days, inshallah. Papa was incredibly loving and affectionate as a father. He was always giving, selfless, open-hearted. He lent a listening ear, comforting word, and a guiding light. We could always lay our concerns to rest, seek solace, and ask for the way forward. Papa took the time to relate to and understand each of his children's personalities and needs, and at the same time, he taught us the value of being patient and humble. It was thus, as a loving, guiding father, which made us love Deen and cherish Iman, and impart its rights naturally and easily. Papa held us, his children, as his friends, and he always reminded us at every point, until the end, when he was in hospital as well, that Allah's deen is very, very easy. It's only us that makes it difficult. My mother and my father, alhamdulillah, are gifts from Allah Ta'ala, and this very short words of tribute cannot do justice to Papa and the life that he lived. The lessons he taught us just by being the person he was. And no amount of time can repay Papa for the sacrifices he made in order for us to be the mu'mineen we are today. Make dua that Allah accept his efforts, sacrifices, Allah wrap Papa in his rahmat and peace and truly make him his beloved in his everlasting abode in Jannat, inshallah. Mulana, some nasiha that my father had always imparted to us as a family, my mother has asked me to just relate these few nasiha, and I think Mulana Khalid touched on these points as well when he spoke about Papa's character and the way he was with other people, was that Papa advised us as well never to be harsh with anyone in when speaking to somebody in speech. He always said that gentleness and softness, speak with gentleness and softness because it softens the heart of the person you're talking to. And in this way you can certainly win hearts. Papa also advised that you should never hurt anyone's heart or put anyone down. And you should never give up on anyone either. Because Allah is great and Allah can change anyone's heart, anyone's condition. Allah is Ghafoor Rahim.
Abba, tell me, I want to ask you, you've prepared all these things, alhamdulillah. Tell us something personal that you have experienced with your Papa. Something that just remains in your mind. Something that just you'll always remember till a long time going forward.
I think what we miss the most, Malana, is that Papa was always there. Like I said, prepared, but what was true is that Papa could answer any concern that you would have. He would be able to comfort you. Through ilm, he would give you the answer to make you see the right way and guide you in that way. I think that is something that we will hold with us, that Allah is there for us, and through deen and ilm, we will always be, we'll always be able to move forward. And also, the love that Papa had, you know, for the Haramain, like my siblings will mention as well, is something that truly lives with us. When we were there with Papa, the khidmat that we could make was him, you know, the going to the haram with him or visiting the Raza Mubarak, always learning from Papa, the ilm that he imparted to us as children. You know, you would say that he taught us everything that we need to know about deen to make us love as mu'mineen in this dunya.
Apadila, jazakallah so much for your time this evening. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your children and your siblings' children a glimpse or a shadow or a mirror of what their grandfather really was.
Ameen. Jazakallah, Mulana, for the opportunity.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I would like to add to this. All these children grew up in front of me.
Maryam,
Adila, Sumayya, Ibrahim. And Hazrat had great love for his children. And he would sacrifice like no parent would sacrifice. Hazrat used to come early in the morning from Azadwell with them to go to Muslim school. And thereafter, make sure they go to madrasa. And Hazrat used to always very lovingly take care of his children. He really gave them the greatest love that a father can give the children. And I would like to also do on a Hajj, my first Hajj. I never thought I would ever make Hajj. What we used to earn, you know what it is, like the Morana salaries. And we had a fund which Morana had created with LMA with the Jami Lamas at that time. And then that thing closed down and we had little money. So I said, Morana Hajj Parwa Jao Che. I said, Morana Khalid Chalo, Tomo Tayyar Thay Jao. We hardly had enough money for the ticket or whatever it was properly. He said, Morana Khalid, we'll make a plane. Come, you come with me. Hazrat arranged for myself, my wife, my Kala, and we made a group of us. He said, Morana Khalid, you're going to take a group. I said, I haven't been there. He said, Khalid, you're going to take this group. And Allah made it possible for me to have the best Hajj of my life. With Khogir in those days, right across the Haram, Ya Allah, we'll never forget. Whenever I go to the Haramain, my heart pours out to Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ibrahim Nanabai. I can still remember him when I went now also. I'm sitting in front of the Kaabatullah, and I say, Maulana used to be sitting here with us, and he used to just say, Khuspani Khalid, Allah's fazl that we are here.
The
khidmat he made for the Hujjat, and how many ulama he made that may perform Hajj. Allah just fill his cover with nur over and over. Ameen.
Ameen, inshallah. We have now one here with us, Maulana Manjara. Maulana was telling me today, he says, Maulana, what companion? I've lost an elder brother. And that was the relationship that the two of them had shared. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Maulana, we're discussing someone that was very close to you as well, Hazrat Maulana Nana Bhai Sahab. Your input to tonight's program.
Jimalana, Jazakumullah for the opportunity. I start off Nahmadu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem. Amma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all the listeners of Radio Islam International. Maulana, my relationship with Maulana is twofold. One is as a colleague, as a student in New Pakistan, as I know it. Those days it wasn't Binori Town, it was New Town in Karachi. And then the other, when we came back to South Africa as a relative and a family member. So, going back to Karachi, Maulana came from Taraj around 1969. And immediately we became friends and buddies. And shortly after his arrival in New Town, we then went back to India representing the South African students of New Town. Now, during those years, India and Pakistan had this anjuman that the other ulama mentioned, the African Muslim Students Union. And every year around Eid al-Adha, we had a conference, sometimes in Pakistan, sometimes in India. So that year the conference was in Dabhel. And Maulana, as the Amir of the delegation, accompanied by Maulana Ismail Varacha and my humble self, we then traveled to India. And as we heard from the other speakers, Maulana was a very caring person. And throughout the journey, he took charge and he took good care of us. Coming back to Karachi, what I remember very clearly during the student days, the later part of his student days in Karachi, Pakistan, Maulana was losing his eyesight. His eyesight was very weak, and during the day he could read and make out things, but at night he was unable to see very clearly. And I was fortunately so placed that I would help him around during the evenings. And then later, Hazrat Maulana Marhum Rahimahullah got married in about 1973. When he came down to get married, he left his nephew Hafiz Mahmood, who is now in Nelspruit, and myself in charge of readying and preparing his house so that when he returns, then he has a house there. So, alhamdulillah, we were able to do that. And from that, we became very close and very attached to not just Maulana, but his family. After that, Maulana graduated, came back to South Africa while I was still in Karachi. Maulana was around this side. I don't know exactly where. But in 1978, I graduated in 1977, I graduated. In 1978, when I returned, Maulana was in Nelspruit. And I suppose with a little bit of his influence, he got me down to Nelspruit and I joined the Nelspruit Jamaat. I joined them in early 1978. Maulana and myself and Hafiz Kasrada, with the imams at the time there. And I remember now this I will cherish for the rest of my life. It was my turn for imamate, not familiar with the system, and 15th of Shaban happened to fall in my term. And I was, although we had anjumans on Thursdays and that, you know, I used to duck and dive from those till, and that's my nature even to this day.
I'm waiting
for your feet. And Maulana reminds me, you know, it's 15th of Shaban on this Wednesday, Thursday, and it's your turn. I say, what? That wasn't part of my contract. I say, well, if you can't talk, you can't stand in front, then you are not wanted around. Then you are useless. So you better stand up there. I cherish this for the rest of my life. Maulana, I didn't know what to say. But when I stood up there and I started talking, it was well over an hour that I spoke without anything written, without anything prepared. And that was the beginning of my journey, and that led me to what I am today. Alhamdulillah, may Allah reward him for that.
Ameen, ameen.
I echo the sentiments expressed by the respected ulama and his beloved daughters, Maryam and Adila, who were very small children. They were around in Nelson. Adila wasn't there, but Maryam and Ibrahim were around. Right. So because after this bayan and this talk, then Maulana left Nelson and came down to Lens and joined the CIG. Maulana had undergone, while he was in Karachi, then he underwent an eye of a cornea transplant, which was very successful. And all along, I helped him through, and we were very close together. Maulana, very short, coming back later on, my younger brother then married his sister, so we became family. And again, what I cherished of him, and whenever we met, we were always in telephonic communication with one another. I didn't know, I wasn't very close to him as an academic, as an alim, because they were in Lands and Johannesburg, and I'm this side. But as a family man, whenever possible, he would come around visiting here, keep that contact, or we would go around when he was living in Azadville. We would go to Evans Park, Robert Shem, and we would keep in touch with one another. And what always brought tears to my eyes, that when he spoke to me and referred to me, he always called me Pyare Bhai. Right. I was a couple months younger than him, but he always referred to me as Pyare Bhai.
Subhanallah.
And he always came home, and always caring, always encouraging, and a family member. Maulana, these are the, you know, there's so much more that I can talk, but, you know, I don't think I'm going to manage through everything. Right. And, Maulana, the last few days in hospital, I went to see him on several occasions, and his family kindly took me through in the intensive care unit, and they whispered in his ears that I was here, and I put my hand in his hand, and kind of acknowledging that I was present, he would press my hand very gently, knowing that I was around, and that brought tears to my eyes. And even now, Maulana, I still think of those moments where when he called me Pyare Bhai, and you know, when we went to visit him every now and then, so warm-hearted. He was in real pain and difficulty due to his illness. He would call me in his home, seat us on the bed. He would come and sit with us, and you know, as if nothing is going on, and it's the same old self, Maulana. Maulana had, I recall, I was a bit of a technical at messing around things. Maulana would acquire the things and mess around with them. And he had an Akai tape recorder, which was one of the best tape recorders, spool tape recorders on the market at the time. Maulana owned that, but I used to play around with it those days. And Maulana used to bring the best of tools, and I used to use them.
Oh,
so these are the fond memories that I have of Maulana's. We were very close as family and friends, and with the whole family, alhamdulillah, we were present in all his happiness and difficulties, and that may Allah fill his qabr with noor, may Allah give his family sabr, and may Allah give them the strength and energy to navigate themselves through this difficult phase, and may Allah elevate his status in Jannah.
Ameen, inshallah. Jazakallah so much for your time, Maulana. We're just going to be able to just go straight to our next guest who's holding on line, one of the elders again of the community, Maulana Yahya Ba. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana.
Maulana, one of your colleagues has passed on, and we want you to share your interaction regarding Hazrat Maulana Nanabai Sahib.
Maulana Nanabai has not passed away. He lives on for us, and he will forever.
Allah.
I mean, it was not only in the LMA that many people are remembering him with. Surely he did great strides for LMA, and in those early years in the 80s, when they were working on the syllabus, he took me in under his wing when the syllabus had to be drawn up, and teaching, he taught us that first step to teach. He was the teacher of the teachers. And with what sabr and with what great patience. But the area that I want to really share is that Hazrat Maulana was surely among the people that were there in the birth of the Lanesia Muslim School. He stood there, the mashwaras, the many late nights together, the many mashwaras. Ya Allah, he was a great man. And that is where the LMS, I mean, I would seem like the one that was in front, little Braki that was parking around. But it was Maulana that was guiding us and telling us what needs to be done and how it needs to be done. When vital mashwaras had to be made, then it was Maulana that told us how to go about it, Maulana. And then after the LMS was formed, even the Association of Muslim Schools, surely it was a great hand of Maulana where he guided in many ways. And although a man that were, in these instances, he was not in front because he was with the LMS, he was with the LMA, but yet the guidance that he gave us, that is the one area. The other area that I would really want to throw light on is that so many of us that learned how to teach under the tutorship of Maulana, and how to handle children, how to go into the classroom, how to do approach in classrooms. These are ihsans that Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Ali gave us. And today we're using the word Rahmatullah Ali. Ya Allah, soon we will also be there in that category. But his ruh and his spirit and his input and the great amount of taraqi that he gave through education in Lanesia and after Lanesia, so many different formations that followed. It was all the hand of Maulana. He will surely live on. May Allah fill his qabr with nur, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him the ajr azim for what he has done for us. I know there are many speakers, so I rush through and allow you to go on.
Jazakallah so much for your kind understanding, Maulana.
Jazakallah.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We are discussing and profiling the life of Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ibrahim Nanabai, rahmatullahi alayhi. And we're going to just ask the engineer, Brother Salim, if he has the next sibling online. Can we take the next sibling, inshallah? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I think the next sibling is still coming on. What we are going to do, inshallah, is in the near future, we are just going to take Maulana Nanabai and Qari Noorbai, inshallah, and we will open the lines. We have quite a few callers on the line at the moment. So, inshallah, we have quite a few guests on the line. As soon as we go through our guests, we will open up the lines in one of the near weeks, inshallah, to come, so that the listeners may share their experiences with the other listeners regarding the two honorable esteemed ulama that have passed on. Can I just take Maulana Haji Sahab? Maulana, you in the studios?
Jee, Maulana, I'm studying in the studios, Maulana.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. Maulana, you want to share your poem now or do it at the end?
Maulana, I can do it at the end, give
Let's
the others
the
opportunity
the end,
first. And Alhamdulillah, Maulana, I think one of the siblings is on.
We have Brother Ibrahim, the son of Maulana, online. Ibrahim, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, Maulana. And assalamu alaikum to the listeners, and Maulana Shafiq Saab, Kakta Saab, Maulana Khalid Saab, all of whom we regard as our fathers as well.
Most definitely so. Brother Ibrahim, we've been have a wonderful and amazing almost 2 hours regarding your honorable father. Your input to tonight's program, inshallah.
Maulana, it would be impossible to summarize the knowledge that my father had passed on to us, and even more difficult to list all the lessons that my father imparted to us over a lifetime, especially since many of those lessons I have yet to fully understand. My father, Maulana Muhammad Ibrahim Nanavai, was in actual fact a very deeply spiritual man, content with every condition from Allah Rabbul Izzat, and happy with the decree of Allah in every matter. He always preferred to wait for Allah's direct help rather than look for solutions from the makhluk. as he used to say, turn to the Khaliq for the answer, not the makhluk.
Subhanallah.
My father's greatest desire in his life, and that was noticeable, was always to serve Allah's deen, and he did so by dedicating his life to serving the ummah. His natural inclination towards khidmah, as has been mentioned by his colleagues, had started from his early days during his studies. And as one of his colleagues from Karachi mentioned to me when I visited Jamia Islamia Binoritown, that he always went above and beyond in his khidmah of Mawlana Yusuf Binorisab Rahtillah and the other ulama. And it was that quality that endeared him to Hazrat so closely. And further going, coming back after his studies, a few years after he returned here, when he was appointed as the Imam at Shanul Islam, it was mentioned in the clip as well, one of the very important aspects is that the first salah read in that masjid when it was established was the Maghrib Salah that my father had the honor of performing.
Subhanallah.
And, Alhamdulillah, in that time, in those years, he always availed himself to the community to assist with personal issues and dini matters. Always there for any person, whether it be late at night being called to a person's house to settle a matter or to clarify matters of deen. He never hesitated, he never held back, and he never allowed this to seem like it was a demand on his time. Later in his life, Allah blessed him with great ni'mah of being able to be of service and guidance for the ummah in a very special and blessed way. And that was by assisting the guests of Allah traveling to Makkah and Medina. As my father had told me, he made no overt attempts to become a mu'allim for the Hujjaj. But one year, they took a group of LMA students as a prize for Umrah. And during that trip, he made dua at the Kaaba for Allah to make it possible for him to return to the Haramain Sharifain every year solely and completely through the grace and favor of Allah. And Allah Rabbul Izzat answered his dua when he was approached by Sheikh Abdulaziz Khogir in the mid-80s to be a guide and booking agent for the Khogir group. Alhamdulillah, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Over the next 20 years, Allah blessed him and my family as a whole, and actually everyone that knew him or had a connection to him, with the opportunity to travel to Makkah and Medina on a regular basis. But most importantly, to earn the du'as of the guests of Allah, Diyufur Rahman, which was ultimately what he taught me would be the best currency for a mu'min in this dunya and akhirah. You know, he would often remind me in Makkah and Medina during the times of Hajj especially, to look for any person in distress or in need of help. And he would emphasize that no matter who they were or where they were from, find a way to assist them, to gain Allah's pleasure, so that one day their du'as would be a source of mercy upon us from Allah Azza wa Jal. Alhamdulillah, you know, his nasiha to people was always on a very personal level, but yet delivered professionally. And his method of explanation of dini matters, as can be attested to by his colleagues as well, was thorough but always simple enough for anybody to understand. It's what made him a pillar in the community in Lanesia, as Mona Khalid was mentioning, the influence on the community. He also shared his vast knowledge of the seerah and the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the history of Makkah and Medina with all who would listen. And he guided the guests of Allah Rabbul Izzat with a very kind hand and a very soft heart. And for his service, Allah also blessed him with the respect and friendship of not only of the ulama, of his colleagues and his ustads, but the ulama and mashayikh of Makkah and Medina. Alhamdulillah, even in his later years when he had difficulty walking and required a wheelchair, Allah Rabbul Izzat still took him to the Haramain Sharifain to serve as a guide and inspiration to the people who accompanied him. Mawlana, there's a lot that I could say, you know, there's a lot that needs to be said.
No, and I was thinking 2 hours, I was telling your sister, your elder sister, we just need to prepare because sometimes it is a long time, but there's so many other guests. But inshallah, we will redo another program and perhaps we'll look at the siblings again. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and the family.
Well, I'd like to summarize with just three points on his character.
No, I think the family should write a biography regarding your honorable father, inshallah.
May Allah give us the
Ameen, inshallah.
The ability and the tawfiq, inshallah, to do that.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it.
I'd like to mention very briefly that his manner was always polite, but stern on Sharia. And his tone was always gentle, but filled with wisdom. And his demeanor was honorable, but always humble. And I think his ultimate gift to us was his example of living a life with complete yaqeen in Allah Azza wa Jalla. Jazakallah, Mawlana.
Jazakallah so much. We have the last of the siblings that is on live on air, inshallah. And we're going to take her, and then what we're going to do, we'll take the 10 o'clock news, and after that we will do Ma'arafiq Haturani and Ma'ar Nawlaki, inshallah. And we will conclude with Ma'ar Shafiq Haji. Sister Sumaya, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, Mawlana.
Jazakallah so much for taking your time this evening to speak about your father. Please share with us your interactions.
Jazakallah, Mawlana, for this wonderful opportunity. Papa was the strongest person I know, who continued to brave his struggles of ill health daily, with nothing but taqwa, humility, and dedication to Deen and his family. His ikhlas, tawfiq, and yearning for all that is right, we can't compare to. His ilm, we fail to excel. Whose daily phone call of unmatched concern we certainly looked forward to. He showed us love beyond all our faults and continued to guide us to the best of our potential, always encouraging us with Allah's kalam and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam's words through all our life's tests. With the biggest of hearts, He showered us with all He had, whenever He had, never holding back, no matter how old we were. His melody of Labaik will forever ring in my ear whenever I wear the ihram, and will continue to hold the rewards of our love and desire for the Haramain Sharifain. All whom he encountered was with a smiling face, and everyone who came home was always offered a meal. His soft, kind-hearted, caring nature with all his children was only escalated with his 9 grandchildren, which always left us yearning to be better parents ourselves. As he always took the greatest of interest in all their little lives, never harsh, never scolding, paving the pathways with only love and gentle guidance, utmost respect and hikmah. His affection for his children and grandchildren went beyond bounds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us a gem of a father, but as all things, he belonged only to him. Allah gives and it is his to take. Papa is a huge loss to mommy, who yearns only to make more of his khidmat as she finds her hand empty now. He followed through to the hadith of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the best of you are those who are best to their families. May Allah grant him the highest stages of Jannatul Firdaus.
Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make his grandchildren follow in the steps of such a wonderful grandfather, inshallah.
Ameen. Ameen, Mawlana.
Allahu khaira.
Jazakallah.
Respected listeners, we've been speaking just under 2 hours on the life of Hazrat Mawlana Nanabai rahimahullah, and I'm rest assured if we had another 2 hours, we would be able to still fill it up and still need more time. Nevertheless, we pay the bills, inshallah. We take the 10 p.m. news. When we return, we have 3 more guests to conclude: Mawlana Nawlaki, Mawlana Rafiq Haturani, and obviously the great Mawlana Shafiq Haji. Inshallah, we will do that after the 10 p.m. news. Respected listeners, we're discussing the life of Hazrat Mawlana Nanabai Sahib Rahimahullah, and we have on the line Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Sayyid Navlaki from Sinha. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Mawlana, this is one of those days where the tributes of Mawlana has not stopped pouring in, alhamdulillah, and we haven't even opened the lines. Mawlana, your contribution to the personality of Hazrat Mawlana Nanabai Rahimahullah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli wa nusallim ala Rasulihi al-Kareem. Firstly, I think I must applaud and commend Radio Islam, and particularly yourself, for bringing about these programs so that it's a lesson for the Ummah in general to learn from the lives of these pious souls. Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned in the hadith, "Uzkuru mawtakum bi khair." We should remember our deceased with their goodness. Insan, as human beings, we all have shortcomings, and if we focus on those few shortcomings, the abundance of goodness is forgotten. So, with that introduction, I must also mention that the other senior ulama that are with you in the studio have spent many, many years with Hazrat Maulana. My interaction with him has been very brief, in fact, 4 to 5 years maximum in total. And the prime of his youth, he spent with them. The last portion of his life, he spent with us. I must mention that I didn't only know him towards this, although we got working close and became close to each other during this period. However, I knew him from the early 80s when I got back one holiday for Ramadan from Karachi, and I was given the opportunity to read Taraweeh Salah with him in Talimul Islam. That was my first encounter, and I was really overawed by his personality and his affection and the manner in which he would assist the Huffaz and myself, when we made an error, etc., give us confidence. That was the first Taraweeh that I in fact read in a masjid. That was my first encounter, and then thereafter I joined the Jamiatul Ulama upon returning the Jamiatul Ulama of South Africa. At that time it was Transvaal. And then I seen Maulana's resoluteness, determination and foresight. In fact, I'm sure some of the ulama, I didn't have the opportunity to listen to the other ulama's contributions, but I'm sure they would have spoken about it. But I would like to say that this is something that really struck me as a young alim that returned home, that joined the Jamiat, and then the Radio Islam at that time, the thought of Radio Islam was being discussed. Should we do it? Should we not do it? And there was lots of opposition from various quarters, within and without. But Maulana, although he wasn't directly involved in the Jamiat per se, his assistance, support, determination, resoluteness, he was like a peg in the foundation of that radio station. And alhamdulillah, that will also be one of the means of sadaqah jariyah till the end of time, inshallah, which Maulana will benefit from. My interaction with him at Sanha, he approached us now about 4 years ago approximately to say that, look, Maulana, this is my condition, but I really would like to, towards the end of my life, continue serving. And this is an amazing trait, really, amongst majority of the ulama. In every other vocation, people would generally want to retire and at some point in time get tired of, interaction and feel, look, now I just need to relax and rest at home. But majority of our senior ulama, we see their aspiration and desire and ambition is that they depart from this world serving the cause of Deen. And this was what he came to us with. Although, he wasn't well, he was having difficulty at that time even walking, although he used to walk at the time. This motivation to, generally people don't understand these aspirations and ambitions. And we were able to successfully motivate and convince the board that, look, Maulana's well and he's an experienced alim. And truly he was. Those that worked with him will know his foresight and his vision and his meticulousness and his compassion and passion to achieve, and drive and strive. He was a true leader in every sense. Notwithstanding his, difficulty in terms of mobility, his intellect, his memory, his alertness and his foresight right to the end, I think was amazing and will remain an inspiration for those that interacted with him. One amazing quality that I personally experienced all the time throughout these years was, notwithstanding Maulana's difficulty with mobility, I would find him doing whatever he had to do, coming to the office daily, with great difficulty, but he would make sure he's there.
And his humility, look at, you know, I would return due to my travels abroad and out of the office within the, sometimes I'm out for a week, 10 days, a few days. But each time I would return, before I could go to his desk to greet him, you would find him coming into my office to say, you know, I just, can I have a few moments just to greet you? This was, you know, he would actually embarrass me with that. But each time I would experience this from him, he would never, ever ignore the younger ulama. Always gave them a hearing, always took their views, always advised them with the compassion. You know, for staff in the Samha office, I think they haven't just lost a colleague. They've lost a father figure. They've lost, for many, a grandfather figure, I would say. His empathy for those staff members that came from poorer and impoverished backgrounds was amazing. You know, he would go out of his way to make sure that their needs are being met of any nature, you know, and the compassion that he would have for the inspectorate staff, for the supervisors that were at the various plants, it really will remain an inspiration and a lesson for us all, inshallah, going forth. One other thing I'd like to mention, Umar, is, you know, towards the end, I know we're running short of time, and I should try and be as curt as possible, that Maulana came into the office walking. Then he was unable to walk. There was not a day, unless he was very sick or that he had to go to the clinic or hospital for an appointment, there was not a day that he would not come. And he used to come in a wheelchair. The landlord, Abu Kalu, in fact put a railing up purely to help him at the time when he could walk. And thereafter he couldn't walk. He used to come with with his wheelchair and move around in the office like anybody else would want to do whatever work they had to do. There was no, not a single occasion that, you know, he would say, no, I can't do this, I won't manage this. His determination and his commitment and dedication to his workplace was amazing. I was told by the family people as well, when I went to see him, he wasn't able to talk in the hospital, but I was told by the family people that even whilst laying in the ICU, Maulana was concerned about getting back to work. There's pending work on my table. I need to get back to work. His love for the Haramain, children talking about, but he came to my office with tears in his eyes and put forward his leave application form and said to me that I desire that I should visit the Haramain one last time. Can you sign this leave application form for me? So yeah, amazing love he had for our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and for the Haramain. And I believe that this love will, inshallah, be an added asset for him in his qabr and the means of elevation for him in the hereafter, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen. Maulana, jazakallah so much for that emotional yet wonderful tribute
Barakallah.
To a colleague and someone who knew well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replace Sanha with personnel who have that amount of dedication, and may Allah take Sanha from strength to strength.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Salaam wa rahmatullah. Inshallah, the final person we have today is a guest, Maulana Rafika Turani. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Maulana Rafika, assalamu alaikum. We'll try and get Maulana Rafiq on, inshallah. We have Maulana Shafiq Haji. Maulana, really emotional program today. All ulama and the colleagues taking out the deep emotions and the connections that they had with Hazrat Maulana Nanabai. Let's conclude with yourself today, inshallah.
Ji Masab, Jazakumullah khair. Inshallah, the engineer is trying to get Maulana Rafiq up again.
If we can, inshallah.
Ji, inshallah, we will do that. Masab, I just want to say something here where Maulana mentioned about Maulana Nanabai Rahmatullah with the love of the Haramain. Maulana, I really want to mention this on air that last night I dream of Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi.
Allahu Akbar.
Maulana is packing his bags and I ask Maulana, where are you going? He said, I'm off to the Haramain.
Allahu Akbar.
This was just last night. And one other thing Maulana did was, you know, like Maulana mentioned, he was in a wheelchair. And Alhamdulillah, I had the opportunity of making his khidmat in that way to bring him every Friday after the meeting. The last moment when I left him at the meeting at home, Maulana, itne aajizi ke saath, unhone maafi talab ki mujhse. I never knew this was his last maafi he's asking. And I said, Maulana, aap kaise baate kar rahe? Ye bas hum ab mujhe maaf kijiye. But bahut takleef de rahe. I said, Maulana, ye takleef nahi, ye saadat ki baat hai. Ye saadat ki baat hai, hum aapki khidmat kar rahe, alhamdulillah, Allah kabool kare. Also, before we go just to the final of the little couplets they've written or the lines, we have Maulana Rafiq Sahab, let's just take Maulana and then inshallah we'll conclude, Mosab. And then the dua, as you can mention about the dua to inshallah.
Maulana Rafiq, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Maulana, a colleague who knew for very many years, your input to our program tonight, inshallah.
Jazakallah for the opportunity. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Nanavai, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, today we've got to say Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Allah Ta'ala gives him high stations in Jannah.
Ameen.
Maulana Muhammad Nanavai, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, I knew him from about the year 1971 when I went to Karachi for the first time to go and study at Jamiatul Ulum Islamiyah. In Nuri Town, and it was a matter of, you know, love at first sight when I came to know him, and when he saw me and I saw him, we just began to love one another from the very, very beginning. Then we were friends, we became intimate, we used to go around together, eat together, sit together, talk together, and he was, of course, about 3 or 4 years ahead of us in the madrasa, in the class, as far as studies were concerned. He was our senior. It was he, Maulana Muhammad Kaka, Maulana Mubin, I think Maulana Muhammad Gina from Kimberley, I think he was also in the same class. And this was a very special class. And Hazrat Pindori Rahmatullah Alayhi had very high hopes in this class that when they will go back to their country, inshallah, they will do a lot of work there and they will make a lot of khidmat of deen. And alhamdulillah, time proved that they did do so. Another one, Maulana Nanavai, rahmatullah alayhi, at the time when he was still a student, I was also a student, he was a very, very diligent, very hard-working student. And as a student, he had excellent qualities already at that particular time. Always very, very humble, very caring, considerate towards his friends, always, you know, whenever you met him, welcoming, entertaining, you know. And you don't find things like this in the students, you know. And then he was one of the favorite students of our Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Binduri Rahmatullah Alayhi, Allama Binduri Rahmatullah Alayhi. And at that time when we were still there in Karachi, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Banji Rahmatullah Alayhi of Marvel Hall, he was in charge of the South African students, in fact, not only South African students, of all the foreigners. He was a principal for the foreigners. And at some time or the other, the Maulana Bamji Sahib Rahmatullahi had to take leave from the madrasa for a few weeks. And remember, there was not only South African students, there were students from all over the world, United States of America, from the UK, from New Zealand, Australia, Sri Lanka, France. So very diversified from different countries, there were students. So when one of the Bamji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when he had to take leave from the madrasa, the question arose, now who is going to take his place? And then what happened is that it was Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Nanavai Rahmatullah Ali that he was considered to be the most suitable person to take the place of Maulana Bamji Sahib while he was away in looking after the foreigners. And alhamdulillah, he did a wonderful job. Then Maulana qualified and he came back to South Africa, and then he took up imamate at Shanul Islam, and we were still studying. And then when we came back, and I returned, and of course for a few years I was in Sabri Masjid, and then I relocated and I went to Nurul Islam. I was just an imam there at the Nurul Islam Center, and then an offer came from the LMA that I must come and teach there. And I didn't hesitate for one monitored us in something in about 1982. Because Maulana Muhammad Nanabai, my friend, was there, I didn't hesitate. I accepted the offer immediately and I went to work at the LMA. And in a very short time, Maulana said, no, you can't teach in a class, you must become a supervisor, give training to the ustads, and go and visit the classes and see how the ustads are teaching. And then, although I worked under Maulana Muhammad Nanabai Rahmatullah, he always treated us and his colleagues very, very fairly, with a lot of respect. His approach was one of respect, kindness, compassion, consideration, and of course tolerance and understanding. And what was most amazing was that Maulana, that whenever you met him, no matter where you met him, and whenever you met him, he was always cheerful and happy to meet you. He made you feel that, you know, after a long time I'm seeing him, and he used to get so happy when he used to meet you. And above all, he was always patronizing, always caring, just like how an elder brother in a family, the eldest brother cares for the younger brother, for the younger ones. That's how Maulana Nanabai Rahmatullah used to treat his colleagues and his friends. In any case, Maulana's entire life was dedicated for the service of Deen. Alhamdulillah, we definitely will miss him very, very much. We make dua that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala fills his qabr with noor. We'll miss him dearly. And Allah ta'ala gives him highest patience in Jannah. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives the strength to the family to make sabr and to make sabr, and Allah Ta'ala give them the ability to make sabr, sabr jameel. Allah Ta'ala grants him the highest patience in Jannah. Jazakumullah. Wassalamu alaikum.
Wassalamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khairan, Morana. That was Morana Rafika Turani, Damal Barakatum, one of the senior and leading ulama of our country, alhamdulillah. Maulana Shafiq, you want to play us a clip? A little, I want to introduce this clip to you. I think it's something which is very, very amazing. Maybe 30 some odd years back, there was a nikah was performed. One great big Maulana, young Maulana, was getting married. His name that time was Hazrat Maulana Shafiq Haji. And in his nikah, Hazrat Maulana Nanabai Rahmatullahi Alayhi made the dua. So this is the clip we're playing. It goes back 30 years, respected listeners. In that clip, inshallah, is Maulana's dua that he made. We will now get a few words from Maulana Shafiq Haji. We will listen to the clip, and on that, inshallah, we will close our program. On to you, Maulana.
Maulana, jazakumullah khairan. Yes, indeed, that clip is a very valuable clip to me. In fact, it's on a cassette. And this afternoon, alhamdulillah, I tried and get it downloaded onto the WaveLab and onto the system, yeah. Alhamdulillah, I got it right. Maulana, before we go to the clip, inshallah, maybe we'll just conclude it with that clip with a dua, and it's a final dua. You may even conclude the program. But before that, let me just go through this quickly. I know the time is against us. This particular few couplets that I've got together and compiled it here is regarding to Maulana Nanabai Rahmatullah Alayhi. And before I go there, Maulana, I know you said that, you know, we'll open lines and WhatsApp messages for the next time. But this particular message that has come from Venezuela is from my sons. They, in fact, were listening to the program. They don't have the communication, they don't have the phone, but they made some arrangement for tonight just to listen to this whole program of Maulana Nanabai Rahmatullah Alayhi. And in this particular message, it says, Assalamu alaikum, respected ulama, my dear father and dear listeners, whenever we thought of a person that is particular in dress and presentation, then we would think of Maulana. There is much to say about of Maulana, but in short, just before we left for Venezuela, we visited Maulana at the wee hours of the night, something past 11. And Maulana had left this comfort, his comfort, just to spend some time and share in the siha with us. Before we left, the exact same advice Maulana had given in this clip, saying that whatever we do, do not attribute it to ourselves, rather attribute it to Allah. And most importantly, eat halal and the result will be tayyib. We would never forget Maulana for this, and would never forget the black bag, white kurta and shining cufflinks we would see through our window. And that is because Maulana was opposite at the LMA, and the Hitachi bag in those years, you should call it the Hitachi bag. So this is a message from my two sons, Hafiz Shuaib and Hafiz Ibrahim Haji from Venezuela. Now coming to the last, Maulana, before we go to the dua, a personality whose actions indeed spoke louder than words. A personality whose presence was always felt without the need of being heard. A personality who had immense generosity, who had not even an atom bit of animosity. Who am I speaking about? This personality, Maulana Muhammad Nanabai Rahimahumullah, my inspiration, my motivation, my fatherly figure. Without Maulana, the gap of emptiness feels even bigger. The love for Maulana had for Sena, the love Maulana had for the Asatiza, this Maulana took as an amana. Welcoming and sharing, simply caring, these were the principles of Maulana's life. Caring for the needy and assisting them in difficulties, this is how Maulana would strive. A personality who stood his ground for Haqq, a personality who took pride in his work. Maulana's and his immense love for Arabic, the language of the Al-Quran. This is what kept Maulana so firm on his iman. Extreme love for Makkah Mukarramah and Madinatul Munawwara is what always brought to Maulana's face lots of glee. The drive to work for Allah's deen is what kept Maulana so keen. A personality who was so meticulous in the way he dressed, for when he dressed, it was his desire for Allah to be impressed. Memories of many, but time is not on my side. For now I know in a better place Maulana resides. Allahumma la taharimna ajrahu, wa la taftina ba'dahu, waghfir lana wa lahu. Allahumma ighfir lahu, warhamhu, wasakinhu fil jannah. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen.
Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. Respected listeners, we close with the clip of Maulana's dua. And on that, inshallah, I will see you next week, same time, same place. From myself, Ubaidullah Boja, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mulana, we go to that clip now, inshallah, and jazakumullah to all the listenership and also to the families of all those who have put the input. Jazakumullah khairan once again. Now we sign off from here, myself, Mulana Khalid Pondo, still in the studio. We say, fi amanillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين بارك الله لك وبارك عليك وجمع بينكما بخير ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما رب اجعلنا مقيم الصلاة ومن ذرياتنا ربنا وتقبل دعاء ربنا اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم احفظنا من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم وفقنا ووفقهما لما تحب وترضى عدد ما تحب وترضى من القول والفعل والعمل والنية والهدى إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين واجعلنا من المهديين اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا ولوالدينا
ولأساتذتنا ولمشائخنا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. فضل سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. فرب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. My respected colleagues, our elders, friends, kya kahe aur kya kuch na kahe? What is there that should be said and what is there that should not be said? I would like to start off with the first hadith that we all went through when we recited Bukhari Sharif. Where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, down the chain of the Sahaba-i-Kiram, when the greatest of muhaddith comes to the surface of this earth, he depicts that particular hadith and starts off his kitab, which you and I call Asahhu al-Kutub ba'da kitabillah. Innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat wa innama li-kulli imri'in ma nawa. La akhir al-hadith. My respected colleagues, whatever that will be said is no reference to the person. Whatever you do in your endeavor in serving the deen of Allah, do not attach reference to yourself. It is only with the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah gives you the hidayah to do what you are doing, and it is only the wahab and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah creates a certain kamal in you through which you benefit this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'm going to mention this again, that the day you took up this line of khidmat of deen, the day we took up and decided that this is the path I am going to follow in my life, it is a path with very few flowers and plenty thorns. And as I said, that if you are not prepared for that for the rest of your life, and I'm saying for the rest of your life, then you have chosen the wrong path. My colleagues, we started talking about 1978. That takes us back 88, 98, 2008, something like about 35 years, 36 years back. The community in Indonesia was not as big as it is today, but it was fairly big. There was qahat of ulama, there were very few. We all could identify each other on a daily basis. There were masajids that didn't have mustaqil imams that were ulama. Some masjids were operating on huffaz. Huffaz in the sense that kaam chalawan hoja, the work must carry on, there must be a leader for the salah. In those crises, Allah made it possible that this Aasi comes to Indonesia. And I came to Talibul Islam Masjid, on the opening of the masjid. The first salah was led there, And that masjid was attached to an organization called Central Islamic Trust. We are all aware of that. Why? Because a waqif, person who made waqf of his wealth, handed over his waqf to Central Islamic Trust for a masjid. And because Central Islamic Trust released these funds to this particular organization, which we call Talibul Islam, I think the Amir of Talibul Islam is also here. So we started, and alhamdulillah, the madrasa was running fine. I taught there for a while, a couple of months, and then I was taken on as a supervisor for all the CIT madrasas run in Indonesia and in Johannesburg, totaling about between 800 and 1100 pupils. On the other hand, Indonesia had Indonesia Muslim Association, also around between 1100 and 1500 pupils. You go to one section in Greville, there's one APA teaching class 2, 10 children, another APA CIT teaching class 2, 8 children. This was the scenario everywhere, in the whole of Indonesia, wherever the madrasa was operating. In the same primary school, two classes of the same, one teaching a CIT syllabus, one teaching a gym, or rather an LMA syllabus. As we went down, after 1.5 years, two officials from the LMA came to say that, came to visit me at home at night to say, leave this and come away to LMA and we will give you this, that and the other. One of them, luckily, pahunch gaye, ek abhi zinda hai. Us waqt dil mein Allah ne ye baat dali, insaan ka koi kamal nahi, jaise maine kaha, hamari nazar, our concentration and our focus must always at all times only remain on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If our concentration is going to move from there, dunya is going to creep into our hearts and minds. Then whatever you are going to do, you will not see the ajr of that, the fruit of that, in the near future. This what Allah put in my heart to say that I've heard what you've said. Inshallah, I will join LMA one day, but I will come with lock, stock and barrel. I just told them that, and that was it. After that, falillahi alhamd, as we carried on, started working on the one side, on the official, the management, and got somebody to work on the other side. Long story short, the day came when LMA and CIT merged together and we were called Association of Indonesia Madrasas. The expenses are shared between the two organizations, but there's no more two classes of 5 and 8 children. There's one class and one sarabai being taught around. Subhanallah. But this didn't last for long. And all the madrasas in Indonesia came under the wing of Asal Maqsad was this, that to bring all the madaris in Indonesia that were operating in the schools under one banner, under one sarabai. Ironically, Shaykh Manuri Rahmatullah Alayhi appointed a Khalil Bhai as the Muhtamim of the Madrasa Haji Khalil, as the Muhtamim of Madrasa Arabiya Islamia, and Haji Yaqub Sahab as the Khazanji. Shaykh Manuri is the Muhaddith. He is the Shaykh al-Hadith. He starts the Madrasa, but he appoints a Ghair Alim as a Muhtamim of the Madrasa. Why? So that he can use that Muhtamim in his capacity in terms of running the outside affairs of the Madrasa. Ta'lim, no tadakhur, whatsoever. In other words, we have to attain that caliber within us. Alhamdulillah, when this thing took place, the merger took place, there were two principles appointed. One administrative principle and an academic principle. This administrative principle was there all along as a principle. And it was that Ahad Sali of ulama with LMA. There was no other alim in LMA. When we were there at this institution, فَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ وَالْمَنَّةِ, when we sat with the asatiza, there was a staff of 100, and the maximum which we went up was around 134 teachers. 134. From which 44 were ulama. The highest concentration of ulama in one institution in this country. But with all that, when you sit with your ulama, when you sit with your asatiza, you are now a man coming from having to put into place the policies of the administration. You are not their friend. Right? But when you sit with the administration, then you are part of your ulama and your staff. You're not part of them. Because that's where you have to put forward in terms of this is going to operate in this manner and not the manner you are saying. And when we go to our staff, then we tell our staff, this is going to now go through in the manner that has been appointed by the administration. And although that is what exactly you had applied and you had put forward to make his grind. Brothers, my colleague, please, that if we don't create an attitude of working together with those that are Ahlul Dunya in our lives, then it's going to be an uphill battle all the time. At the end of the day, Allah will give you your success in terms of your ikhlas. Jitna ikhlas hoga, utni kamyabi hame zarur Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ata farmayenge. In other words, we come here again, that our niyat and our ikhlas must be to that extent that no matter what difficulties we go through, it is only going to be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you will see the fruits that will start, mushrooming from the efforts that you put down. Secondly, this has been our endeavor throughout, and it must be throughout our lives, that the khidmat of deen that we are doing is not for the remuneration that is there for us in terms of what Allah has written. If you say that my salary is very low, so isn't that what Allah has made muqaddar for you? Must you ask somebody else to give barakat in your rozi, or must you ask Allah who has written that rozi for you for that period of time? I know Hazrat Mufti Qasim Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, a great ustad in our times. People may have heard his name. He used to teach with LMA. He was one of the first ulama that joined us. He was teaching in Jamia Masjid. At the moment when he heard that things have changed, he joined us. And he was absolutely beniyaz when it came to tanha, when it came to salary, when it came to the Ahl Dunya, when it came to the officials, as we may call them in official terms, absolutely beniyaz. In other words, he didn't bother with that whatsoever. And he had his side business going where Hazrat Mufti Sahib used to make achar, and that practice is still carrying on today. And he used to come to madrasa every day with a spotless kurta and immaculately dressed. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib's shadow, if you would like to say, was Hazrat Mufti Qasim rahmatullahi alayhi. So what I'm trying to put forward here is that not once did Mufti Sahib, who taught there for something like about 20 years, give an increase of salary. Never. So, point we're making here is that qanaat on what we have, and if it is possible for you and Allah makes your ways to supplement on some other issues on your with regard to your income, doing something else, فَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدَ وَالْمَنَّةِ. But this qanaat will give you that izzat, it will give you that honor, it will give you that dignity which we all look for when it comes to the ulama. We don't say that we are looking for dignity in terms of begging for it, but this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon us. Hence, in short, what I am trying to say is that, my colleagues, the task ahead of us is very difficult. As we go more further, the interaction with the parents becomes more difficult. The mahol at home is becoming more corrupt. So your task at your hand is becoming more difficult. The more difficult it is, the more you require to strengthen your ikhlas, liwajhillah, lillahiyat, and the more it requires for you to depend on qana'ah. And remember, until such time that there isn't that tawajjuh ilallah, that tahajjud, that tears, my brothers, my colleagues, we are not going to attain the success that we hope to attain at the end of the day. This line that we have, the line of deen, of teaching, of imamat, is a line for what? A line where we are asking Allah to be pleased with us. Ye Allah ki raza ka kaam hai, aur Allah ki raza baghair aansu bahane ke nahi aayegi. Dekh lijiye, look at the lives of our kabirin, look at the lives of the sahaba, look at the lives of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that bawujood ye, despite that Allah assured Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I would give you victory in Badr, but that Nabi of Allah shed tears that night, and he shed the tears till the ground was wet. He didn't have to do it. My brothers, even if you're teaching Alif Ba, even if you're teaching Wa Fama, remember, the ikhlas that you will put into yourself to teach that will ground it into the child till the day of Qiyamah. This is a tree you have planted now, and you will bear the fruit till the day of Qiyamah. But remember, it's got to be nurtured with your tears. Hazrat LMA, of course, had to ensure that while the need of madaris were there, the madrasa came after the masjid. Pehri masjid qaim hui, aur sabse pehri masjid Lanai Zia mein Sabri masjid. The first masjid that was built in Lanai Zia was the Sabri masjid. It was a very ordinary structure. In fact, there were zinc roofs, and Kaka had a great battle in that masjid. They were simple people, let's put it that way. Didn't really understand the trueness of our deen. And then came the Rainbow Masjid. These were the first masjids that were built in Asia. The Rainbow Masjid was built by the same committee that took on the challenge of opening the madrasas. Obviously, the first madrasa was started at the Alpha Primary School. In the old days, that was the first school that was there. Not even the part. After that, wherever, I remember still those days, when we were driving in Extension 5, where Tariqul Islam Masjid is, where it was absolute gravel, and the road was half a meter below the surface of the ground. They had dug up all that, and obviously when it rained, you couldn't drive in the car, because you would get stuck on the road, your tires would go into the mud. So whenever there was a new extension that came about, because of NMA taking up the task in terms of providing education, they were there, they thought to be their responsibility to start the masjid as well. Unless somebody else has put up a masjid, and there is the means have been fulfilled. So first the Rainbow Masjid, then came the Banglawali Masjid. Banglawali Masjid was a house donated to NMA, which was converted into a, given for the same reason, given to, in order to convert into a masjid. In that manner, the masajid started coming up wherever there was a need. For instance, on the talk shop area, Alhamdulillah, Ahl Miyah, the Miyahs put up the Jami Masjid. There was no need for LMA to put up a masjid there. Came to Extension 5, this part where Masjid Bilal is, that was the first part of Extension 5. The top part was known in our days, when we came to Lens, as Fair Khanuk. Fair Khanuk. And it's further, far enough. Eid Khakhoi was, I think, Extension 9. No. Extension 9? Yeah, Extension 9 was Eid Khakhoi. That was the name of Extension 9. So, when it came to Extension 5, they built a masjid here, Bilal Masjid. And then when the further extension came, the Talibul Islam Masjid was built, and there was a plot there, and they had somebody to build the masjid, so they left it for that. Obviously, Nurul Islam Masjid was very, very instrumental by Dr. Mamouniat. Allah for his name was Nur. Give him whatever he could, he did for this deen. And it was Rabita that was very instrumental in building that masjid. That's why the masjid is so big and so wasir, amongst all, because money came from overseas. Sometimes it takes time. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki ek dua jo unhone farmayi thi, jinhone unke upar zulm kiya tha Kaabatullah ke ird gird, us dua ko poore hone mein 24 saal lag gaye. 24 years that dua was completed when Fatih Makkah was taken, when Fatih Makkah took place.
Really gives us a very great sense and a deep sense of satisfaction, a deep sense of love and bondhood when you answer to the call of attending a meeting of this nature. I know there do come times and moments where we are held up with something which is beyond our control. Understand that, but I'm sure in your cases that you are here, you have put that even aside and made this a mission of yours to attend this most important meeting, which has been delayed for at least 6 months already. Once again, a heartfelt welcome, a very warm welcome to all of you. May Allah Jalla Shanahu give you jazaya khair for the grief, for the trouble that you have taken to attend this. But in the same panel, we ask Allah Jalla Shanahu to reward us, because our coming here is not to benefit you or benefit any person in terms of any worldly gains. We have come here with the sole intention that we will be able to better our skills, sharpen our skills in the field that Allah has chosen us. And I'm sure none of us here in material, how many years you have an experience in your field of inspection and supervision, no matter how well you are versed in your field of operation, nobody at any given time can say, I know so much that I don't need to know anymore. Because if anybody has that kind of an attitude, then of course we are moving to the brink of fakhr, and we all do know the hadith Qudsi, al-fakhru ridai, qala Allah azza wa jalla. So we all are here to learn something which maybe we have messed up, or maybe we need to know it a bit better. We're here to sharpen our skills, and we are here to understand one another a bit better. Remember, we are always very weary, very conscious about the fact that we do not want to apply a top-down. That is not the way organizations work. As Maulana Shafi Sahib read so beautifully, ayat of Quran al-Kareem, it melts our heart. If they will let this come about, then the formula that is first created, steps are taken in terms of what is first and what is second, the amount that is put in there. Likewise, in our operation, there are standards that are laid down to the best of our understanding, to the best of our experience, to the best of bettering ourselves in terms of our operation. Now, those standards are there for you and for us to put into practice. And if there is any hindrance in the perfection of your duty by applying those standards, and remember, it's not a top-down approach, it's an approach where you meet today, you talk about it, and be forward that these are your footfalls in this application. That is the only way we can better ourselves and grow from scratch. Once again, a very, very hearty welcome to all of you. Allah you desire khair for your tashmeer. And we are on the set, this is the mood of this meeting, the mood of this workshop, in a very friendly manner, in an atmosphere where we all will be putting our hearts and minds together and applying it in a manner where we come out from here better understanding our work and better equipped to go back to our fields. JazakumAllahu khairan. We ask Maulana to give us some nasihat.